Buddy, as you're finding your way to your seats, that's my way of hinting to you to get to your seats. As you're finding your way to your seats, we have a few announcements this morning. I got to tell you, does it feel like it's still April with all the rain we're getting, even though it's June? It's almost like we're a month off, I feel like, but either way. So we have a couple announcements this morning for everybody. If you're a guest and this is your first time here, or it's your first time watching online, or maybe you're watching a different time, maybe you're watching 2 years in the future, right? Well, hello, 2026. But we'd love to get to know you more. You can head to the Welcome Center if you're here in person, and we'll ask you for a few points of information, and we'll have a small gift for you. You can also go online to the bit.ly link you see there. We just want to get to know you a little bit better, have you get to know us. Also, something we do here at Calvary Gospel Church is we offer personal Bible studies. And so if you'd like to learn more about God and more about His Word, whether you want to meet for a half hour or meet 10 times, we have an opportunity for you to learn more about God and His Word. And so if you'd like a personal Bible study, reach out to somebody in the church. We'll get you hooked up. Some upcoming events giving options. If you feel to give at all, there's offering boxes posted on the walls in the entrance of the sanctuary. You can give through the mail. You can give through our Church Center app. I don't have my phone, but it's an app. You can also just go right onto our CGC website. So there's opportunities to give if you feel to. Some things that are coming up this Friday, June 7th, is our all-church prayer. We have a prayer meeting every month, the first Friday of every month, but just check the calendar to be sure. But it's at 7 p.m., and so we all gather, and we pray, and we talk about prayer a little bit, and we're kind of focused on praying for the same thing, right? And so it's an exciting time. It's a good time. I encourage you to be there. Draw closer to God together. Next Sunday, June 9th, there's a men's ministry service and cookout at 6 p.m. So this is at Brother Marvin's house, which is down in the McFarland area. It's at 6 p.m. And you can bring a friend, bring something to grill, and it's always a good time. And there's talk about God. There's great grilling. There's fun. If you have any questions, you can find Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry's waving his hand right now. There we go. Yeah, he'll help you out. Or you can also find Brother Marvin, which I didn't see Brother Marvin this morning. Sunday, June 16th is our special Father's Day service at 11 a.m. We encourage you to be here. We're excited. Our theme for this year is No Greater Strength. A month ago for Mother's Day, we had a little bit of a panel. And so for Father's Day, we're going to have a panel too. There's going to be a couple gentlemen we're going to talk with and just have a conversation about being a dad in today's world and trying to follow God. So be here. It's going to be an exciting time. And if you're wondering, we're going to give away those big giant ribeyes again, the bone-in ribeyes you can take home and grill or chop up and make into some like dish if you want. But either way, bone-in ribeyes. And then if you don't get your name drawn, we're still going to have something. We're going to have donuts, whole table full of donuts. Kids, you can get 4 donuts, put them in a little box for your dad. You guys can go home to the donuts. Okay. The only thing I ask children is, you know, let's let dad get a bite. Okay. At some point. Okay. I know service ends at noon, 12:15 a lot, and you're getting hungry and you're going to want those donuts, but save a bite for dad. Okay. And then one last thing. If you weren't here at 10 a.m., we had our God's Word for Life Bible study. So there is a I don't want to call it a service. Our Bible study, our church starts at 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study that starts at 10 a.m. at the same time that the kids' Sunday school is going on. And so we go through something called God's Word for Life, and this is just the daily devotional guide for the summer three series this summer. The first series is Jesus Teaches Us to Pray. The second series is John, the I Am Sayings. And the third series is The Spirit in Our Lives. And so what this is you can pick one of these up in the back and you can kind of keep along through the week. It's day one, so that'd be tomorrow of lesson 1.1. We talked about this morning the Lord's Prayer. So tomorrow, day one, there's a little verse to read. Look at this, it's one page. I could read this right now. We wouldn't even barely take any time. There's a verse to read, there's an insight, there's a daily devotion, and there's a time to reflect and pray, okay? So I encourage you, if you're wondering sometimes, well, how do I pray? What do I think about? What's a devotion? Start with this. This is a great opportunity, and it'll be keeping up with everything we're teaching in all the classes here. So I highly recommend these. Grab one, and don't just grab it and put it underneath your car seat. Grab it and go through it every day, okay? It's a great opportunity. Let's all stand this morning. God is in this place, And God wants to meet with us. He wants to connect with us. He wants, I mean, obviously we're here to worship him and connect with him and to learn from him and to grow. But we're also here to worship him too, right? And he's in this place and he wants to meet our needs. And so let's just pray that God has his way in the service, okay? That God has his way in our individual hearts. Whatever you're bringing to the service or whatever you're not bringing to the service, God's just happy that you're here. And he wants to meet you and connect with you this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, Father, for your spirit, God, that is in this place, that is moving in our hearts and minds. God, Lord, we're here to worship you, to lift up your name, God, to sing your praises. God, we're here to hear from your word, from your preacher, God. And God, just prepare our hearts. Whatever we've brought or not brought into this service, God, we just pray that you would speak to us, that we would leave changed, that we would leave more connected to you, that we would leave challenged, God. I pray your anointing on the music. I pray your anointing on our pastor as he brings forth your word, God. Let your word not go forth void to everybody that hears it, God, in this place. In Jesus' name, have your way. Amen.
Yeah. Nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustainer. Can we sing that out? I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you, Jesus. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you, yes, Jesus. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you.
There is no one.
great you are. How great, how great you are.
Sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. I am anticipating results today. How many of you came here to get something? How many of you came here to give something? That's what that song says, take this offering that I bring. We serve an awesome God. Thank you to our worship team. You could be seated this morning. I just want to congratulate Calvin and Brooke Wells. They have a new little baby girl, Taya Jean Wells. And they have her with them this morning. So congratulations to you. And God bless you. Such an awesome... It's such an awesome weekend. Yesterday, even though it rained all day, it was just one of those beautiful rains. Didn't wash away half your garden. And beautiful day today, tomorrow. I'm just looking, I'm excited into the month of June. We're going to be starting a new series. I'll be introducing this morning here shortly, but we started off the year, January, we started off talking about opportunities and how that opportunities, God opens up opportunities for us and how that we need to take and opportunities need to become part of our daily lifestyle. It's kind of, if you've picked up on this, and we talked about boldness the month of February and into March, and boldness. God can open up multiple opportunities, but if we don't step through into boldness to step into those opportunities come and go. And boldness is something that we, now we're not talking about the belligerence here, we're talking about being bold. Some of the most quiet people I know are the most bold people, because they're confident in what they believe and what they say, and they're confident in how they live. So boldness should be a daily lifestyle, something that we live in boldness every day. We talked how the disciples were bold in their daily walk. They were bold in their lifestyle. And we're going to go into faith. We're going to be doing a series here the month of June on faith. And I just want to encourage you that faith is a daily lifestyle. We're talking about developing a lifestyle of faith. We're not just talking about having faith for the moment. So many times we look at that and we apply, well, we need to have faith. We're dealing with a particular situation in our family, and we have to have strong faith. And it's kind of like you try to build your faith up. What we're trying to do here in this series is build us up a daily lifestyle where that faith becomes part of our daily routine. And then we're going to follow this up with apostolic evangelism. And we're talking about everyday principles, things that we do every day of our life. So this series, this is just the introduction to this series. I'm going to be talking about living the everyday principles of faith. Everyday principles of faith. This lesson, this series has challenged me. It's challenged me in my thought process. I kind of went into it thinking one thing, and as I got into it more and more, God just began to open up. And so I am doing this series a month earlier than what I had planned, because this coming Wednesday, I was supposed to be going in for ankle surgery, which was going to take me out for 4 to 6 weeks, so we were looking at doing this series later in the summer. And the surgery got postponed. Not for sure when it's going to happen, but nevertheless, I'm not too concerned about that. God has it in control. But living the everyday principles of faith. Faith has always been, and faith will always be, a core component to a Christian life. I believe if you are going to serve God, the whole process starts with faith. The scripture tells us to every man is given a measure of faith. I've had a lot of discussion with some of our elders on what exactly does that mean when it's every man is given a measure of faith. How much is that measure? Is my measure different than your measure? Or do I just use my measurement differently? Then do I apply my faith differently? I think as individualistic as each and every one of us are, as God gives us our measure of faith, just as God fills us with His Spirit, fills us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every one of us, that Holy Spirit reflects out of us differently because we're different people. So how I utilize my faith may be very different than how Brother Repka utilizes his faith, or how Brother John Rivas or Brother Derek Bucco. Every one of us is given a measure of faith. And how we deal with that, how we utilize that, how we spend that faith is different. It is by faith that we accept and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become believers. It's by faith that we step into this. It takes an act of faith to believe in the Word of God. It takes an act of faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to throw this out there. just for the devil's advocate, it takes an act of faith to believe that it all exploded in a big bang and we all ended up here billions of years later. Which takes the bigger act of faith? I've heard it explained like this. It's like taking a 747 completely apart, piece by piece, piling all the pieces in a pile and having a tornado come through and blow through that pile of rubble of 747, and on the outside of that comes a perfectly flying airplane. The odds of that happening are as great as the odds of the Big Bang, which takes faith. Faith. Paul states in Ephesians 2:8, for grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. So for every man, every woman, every child has a measure of faith. It is a gift of God. It is by faith that we live in a continued obedience to our Lord and King. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. So he pulls flesh and he pulls faith together. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. At times, faith seems very, very important to us. And this is especially true during times of fear or times of confusion, such as the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or something catastrophic perhaps happens in your household, and faith becomes very important to us. And at other times, we go about our day-to-day business with little bearing, pay little attention to faith. Faith has little bearing on our day-to-day lives. Now, I don't know about you, but this is going to be really kind of oddballish, me throwing this out there, but I have faith in Lycon Corporation. You see their big cement trucks driving around town? I have faith that when I'm sitting at a red light and there's a Lycon truck coming up behind me, that they are maintaining the brakes on that truck. Think about that. Do we ever think about that when we leave, that we have faith? When you leave here today, you are putting faith in some mechanical being to get you home. You're putting faith that when you hit that brake pedal, as you pull out of the parking lot or you pull down into the roundabout, that your car is going to slow down and you're going to be able to navigate. We put faith in things. So simplistic. Every day, we don't even think about it. However, our perception of the necessity of faith in every aspect of our lives does not alter its foundational nature. Since faith is such an important part of our daily lives and our Christian life, we have to understand both. We have to know what it is and what it is not. There are many different views on faith. I could go around this room today and we could ask each and every one of you, what's your opinion? Give me your definition of faith. And we're going to get a splattered account. Satan and the world have their counterfeit versions of faith. However, the only viewpoint that matters is God's viewpoint, which he has revealed to us in his word. So as we enter into this series, we are going to discover exactly what is faith. We're going to discover how does one get it, and what can we have faith in. We're going to talk about how our faith grows. How do we share our faith? How do we show our faith? And when does faith end? Now, faith, when you look at it scripturally, faith is mentioned over 300 times in the scripture. and of having 300 passages of scripture to choose from for a series scripture, I've narrowed our series passage down to just one simple passage. And it's probably the most common, as well known as most preached upon passage of faith in the scripture. And with that, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to turn to verse 1. And we're going to read. I want to read this from a number of different versions this morning. The King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We see that often. We read that often. We've heard that preached many, many, many times. But what exactly does that say? What does that mean? Reading from the Jubilee version of the Bible, it says, "Faith, therefore, is the substance of things waited for, the evidence of things not seen." We can dig into a little more into the message, and it gives us faith. It gives us Hebrews 11:1 reads, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust, there's a word that's going to enter into our series. We're going to find that faith and trust are like Siamese twins in this process. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is our handle on what we can't see." I want to read one more passage, and it's a longer passage. You wonder how does it's the Phillips version of the Bible. I don't know how many of you have probably even knew that this existed, but Phillips chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, 1 reads like this: "Now faith means putting our full confidence in things we hoped for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old, and it is after all only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command. Faith begins in Genesis 1:1 with 'In the beginning, God.' That the world which we see has come into being through principles which are invisible." I like how that reads. We understand as we read this that faith takes action. Faith demands action of some sort, and fear cancels action. So when we look at faith, we have to bring in the component of fear, because there is faith and then there is fear, and faith requires an action or takes action on our parts, and fear cancels that action. Caring what people think cancels action. Caring what people think can cancel our faith. Craving comfort over your calling cancels action. If you want to have faith in your life and you are craving your comfort over your calling, you can't seemingly have both. Faith produces doers. People of action, people of faith, are people that do. Faith must work. It must produce. It must be visible. It's designed to be used. It's designed to be expended.
Just like the Holy Ghost in us is designed not just to stay in us, but to flow in us and out of us. And that's how the world finds out about it, is because it sees it and it feels it when we walk into a situation. And faith is designed not for us to hoard it, not for us to keep it, not for us to stockpile it and sell it on eBay. It's designed for us to expend. And as we expend it, God, if we are good expenders of our faith, God will continue to fill us with faith. Faith turns straight to God and away from the world. To activate our faith, we must believe God and His Word above all. Let me just say this. If there's any doubt in your mind today about this, it will be very difficult for you to take and expend faith. If you're doubting God and you're doubting His Word, faith says, I believe God more than any fears. I believe God more than feelings. I believe God over my circumstances, and I believe God without even being able to see. Faith shows a willingness to get uncomfortable. Faith shows a willingness to work hard and to keep showing up, even when nothing in reality says the blessing is coming, but it is coming. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith forwards all issues to heaven. Fear is a false evidence appearing as real. When worry ends, faith begins. Faith is not believing God can, it's knowing He will. Faith says yes to God, and faith is where the action is. Faith is active. Faith is bold. It believes without seeing. It always is going to follow God and His ways. To activate our faith, it takes another component. It takes action. Faith is a word of action. Faith within itself requires action. Faith is a verb. Verb is an action word. It is not an emotion. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is courageous and faith is bold. So what type of person comes to mind when we think of faith? We hear this, that he is a man of faith or she is a woman of faith. In my humble opinion, I think we have allowed this to become somewhat distorted. I think of people who are well put together. I think of people who have a lot of confidence. I think of people who speak very eloquently and have a degree in theology, and they've been to Bible school and they've been to Urshan, and they've got they're great with Bible studies, and they've got all of their spiritual stuff together. So they're a man or a woman of faith. They've got the credentials to back up what they're speaking or saying. Perhaps they've written books and they're known for their theology, and they're being able to expand on their theology. They're bold and courageous in their faith because that's their job. However, I have to pull my mind back to what courageous and bold looks like in the scripture. And how God over and over and over again, listen to me here, how God over and over and over again choose to use ordinary, regular, typical, broken down people to do extraordinary things. Ordinary people who messed up just like you and I have messed up. Ordinary people that are just like you and they're just like me, and there are things that God will call you to do for him and things that might paralyze you in your thinking. We may think, me, why, God, are you calling me? I know how I felt when I was asked for the very first time some 25 years ago to publicly speak at a district function at a retreat in northern Wisconsin. I was scared to death. I had no idea what to say. Had never spoken publicly in years and years and years. And the enemy begins to whisper into your mind, into your thoughts, says, you can't do that. You're not capable of that. Who else is on the agenda to speak? And it begins to put everyone else in front of your face and say, are you as qualified as this brother? Can you preach like this one? And what are you even trying to prove by going there? And the enemy would like to stay right, like us to stay right where we are, frozen in our fears and frozen in our anxiety. And if he can keep us paralyzed, listen to me, if he can keep us paralyzed, if he can keep us warehoused, he can win. But the moment we take a step, in bold, courageous faith, maybe not even fully understanding how faith even works or applies, but we take that bold, courageous step, just believing in God, that what God says I can do, he's going to back me in this. Knowing that God is calling us to something big, then there is no power in hell that can hold us back. Hebrews 11 goes on to a list of ordinary broken people who did extraordinary things for God. These were people who didn't feel adequate. These were people who didn't feel good enough. These were people who weren't the image of what a heroic person should look like. We look at Moses, and Moses was not a perfect man. He was a wanted murderer who ran from the crime scene into Moab and hid out for 40 years. And God called him to deliver the nation of Israel, who was in bondage to Egypt. He had a stutter. He said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't know how to speak. God, you can't use me. And God said, yes, I can, and I'm going to, and you're going to go. Joseph, we look at Joseph, and we love to talk about Joseph. He was a dreamer, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But Joseph was also someone that was a bit braggadocious and a bit prideful, for he wore his coat of many colors with great pride. And he bragged to his brothers that someday you're going to bow down at my feet and your families are going to worship my family. And it ended up a disaster for him, and he ends up in an Egyptian prison. Jacob was a deceiver. Rahab. Look at the story of Rahab. You say, who's Rahab? I've never heard of Rahab. She was the prostitute that hid the spies as they were spying on Jericho. And the security of Jericho came to her home to say, hey, there's reports these guys are here. And she hid them on her roof. She was a woman of ill repute. But her faith, Brother Brunker, was unmatchable. She believed everything those spies told her. And she said, when you take over this city, spare my family, spare me and my family. And we find out later that Rahab is actually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. David was the smallest of his brothers. When Samuel came and said, "Where are your sons?" and talks to David's father and says, I want to anoint a new king. And he wasn't even invited into the room. I did some research on this, and it was very interesting, some of David's attitudes, and that's for a whole another Bible lesson. But David had a whole lot of baggage to overcome at a very early age. He was the smallest of his brothers, and yet God chose him to be king. We read about Gideon, how Gideon was the least of the least, the bottom of the barrel in the tribe of Manasseh, and yet God called him to win a mighty victory over the enemy. When he's hiding in a wine press, the angel of God speaks to him and says, "Gideon, you little whiny runt, get out of that wine press." God did. That's not how he addressed him. God looked at him for what he could be. And God is looking at all of us today in faith of what we can be. God looked down at Gideon and said, "Thy mighty man of valor." Get up out of there. We got an enemy to conquer. We got some battles to fight. We look at Noah. We look at Noah, how that Noah in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a desert, built an ark. You see, these were all imperfect. They were all struggling. And all of these people by faith moved their mountains. So church today, if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, why do we then doubt that God can use us too? We come to God with our imperfections. We come to him with our struggling. We come with him with our frustrations. And we begin to make excuses. And God's like, no, no, no. What he is calling us to, he is calling us to take courageous and bold steps in faith for him. See, when you look at faith, faith is fierce. Courageous and bold faith takes us out of our comfort zones. It is fierce with courageous and bold faith that confronts sin, just like Prophet Elijah on the Mount Carmel. It is fierce and courageous and bold faith that stands for truth in a world around us that has created its own form of truth. And we're watching this unfold in our political realm across the globe today. How that truth is no longer truth. Truth is what I say and what I continue to repeat enough until hopefully you will begin to believe the lie. Courageous and bold faith proclaims the name of Jesus. It isn't afraid to speak up in love. And courageous and bold faith doesn't conform to any pattern of this world, but it is transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Because then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Over and over and over again, God has given us an example after example of bold, fierce faith. But they weren't always bold, fierce people. But because they were willing, God allowed that quiet, calm, meek-mannered Gideon to become a mighty, mighty man of valor. You see, many times in our lives, we try to doubt. And in my own life, the doubt sometime was screaming to me louder than the truth was screaming. Many times I was worried. Many times fear would creep in. Whispers of doubt that the impossible
God gives me dreams, and it's like, God, I don't see that happening, and doubt begins to step in. But God constantly brings me back to reality. And His reality, His truths, as you and I battle through life's ups and downs, we will look back and see God's amazing hand over our journey, and we will wonder, why have we ever doubted? Paul writes in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance. Bryce, we can't ever quit this. We got to run. We have to persevere. We have to chase after. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So as our musicians come and as we can stand this morning, as we close out this introduction lesson today, setting ourselves apart from the tide can be difficult. We're in a world that says conform, conform. If you don't believe the agenda that I believe or we believe, you're racist, you're bigoted, and they force you to conform. But you see, Jesus says, you know, we're in a world that says conform. Think what we think or you're going to shun you. We're going to chastise you, spit on you, call you names, and ridiculing. But Jesus isn't calling us to conform. He's calling us to step outside of the herd and go a different direction. He's calling us to literally swim against the tide. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul writes this to the Romans in the New Testament book, Romans 12:2. The verse continues on to says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, faith is bold and faith is courageous. But faith will look different for everyone here. But you see, our commonality is that God is calling us to stand out. We talked about opportunities. We talked about boldness. Faith will cause you to stand out. How is God calling us to be bold and courageous in our faith for Him? I can't answer that question because it's different for each and every one of us. But you see, Pastor Peter talked this morning, did a great job on the Lord's Prayer, talking about prayer. Gave us a template on how to pray. But see, you can ask God in your daily prayer, and He will give you that answer. Maybe it'll come up about in a conversation with a friend, or maybe a situation for some of you that are still in school. You're trying to wonder, how can I reach my school? How can I reach my friends? Maybe it's in a workplace atmosphere. Or maybe it's simply at the park as you're watching your children play and you strike up a conversation with a parent. You see, bold and courageous faith doesn't sit idly by waiting for someone else to do something. Bold and courageous faith steps out, even in the world around you, the cultural norms and the voices may cast stones. What did Jesus say? He gave us a very good piece of advice in John 15:8. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind
it's not because of you, it's because of me. It hated me first. Jesus, God is calling us to live a bold, courageous, and have a fierce faith rooted in Him. And all of this starts with a foundation, a firm foundation in His truth. A firm foundation in His Word. A firm foundation in knowing Him. To know God is to seek Him every day. You want to have strong faith? Talk with God every day. Sometimes our flesh says, you know, Pastor, I wake up tired. I go to work tired. I come home tired. I go to bed tired and can't sleep. I know exactly how that. But I pray that this series on faith will ignite a passion within all of us to continue seeking, to continue learning, and to press into a much richer knowledge of who God is. And how He has called all of us to have a fierce faith. A faith called to stand out. A faith called to stand tall. And a faith called to stand firm in Him. And to live it out in action. Faith takes action. So as our worship team leads us into worship here at the closing of this service, I just want to invite you down to this altar. Maybe you're here today and you are struggling in your faith, and maybe you don't even know how to define faith. Maybe you're fighting an illness, a sickness, a marriage problem, a financial problem. I don't know everyone's personal circumstances. Maybe you're fighting whether or not you even believe this anymore. I just want to challenge you to come have a conversation with God. Let Him step in. Let Him step into your mind and into your heart and begin to speak into your life today.
I won't be discouraged, even when I'm discouraged. I'll remind my soul of all You've done before. I won't be distracted, even in the distraction. We'll trust the One who's greater than the storm. We'll trust the One who's greater than the storm. I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here. Truth I'm holding, the same God. shaken. You've done all I can do. I see the sun. So I'm not done waiting.
Now, faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it is, after all, only by faith that our minds accept this fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, and that the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. Hebrews 11:1 out of the Phillips Version. Just remember, faith takes boldness, takes obedience. And God wants to use this church. He wants to use you. He wants to use me in all of our imperfections. We get so caught up on what's wrong with us. And God is looking at us and saying, John Rivas, you mighty man of valor. I got a job for you. God is calling all of us. God bless you. This Wednesday evening, we'll dig a little bit deeper into this. And we're going to go into the various stages or phases of faith so that we can know exactly where we are, just like God's GPS, know exactly where we are on our journey. So God bless you. Have a blessed day. Blessed week. Thank you to our worship team. Did a great to see Sister April Driver up here her very first time. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a very blessed week.